Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod for episode 139. It is great to be back here with my bestie, Esty, and to fill you all in on what's been going on over the last couple of weeks. Est, welcome back to the pod. We missed you last week with Bex, but how are you going?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I missed being there. Great to have Bex on. Very relevant with the strength training going live. So yeah, if anyone hasn't listened to that one, highly recommend go back and have a listen. But yeah, no, I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back on the pod, and I'm going pretty well, thanks. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, it was great to chat with Bex last week, and shout out to everybody who signed up to the strength programs over the last couple of weeks. We've had like hundreds of you sign up, which is so cool. It's epic to see so many people wanting to get strong alongside their running. So please give us your feedback, send us messages to our Instagram. We'd love to hear how you're enjoying the programs and seeing progress as well. But yeah, I'm good. It's been, yeah, a full-on couple of weeks, just like recovering from the marathon and just keeping busy with work and everything else going on. Like, I really took 2 weeks after the marathon pretty low in terms of running. I wasn't running a lot. And I was trying to get back into training this week, but I still feel pretty fatigued from it all. So I'm just like trying to just be calm and kind to myself and just be patient with my body and stuff as well, and just know that there's no rush to get back. So, yeah, I think you have these expectations that you're going to bounce back from races quickly and you're fit and like you'll be able to pick up training again like quite quickly, but that isn't the case. And it isn't, you know, sometimes that can happen, but it's not normal, and it's actually, as a coach, not encouraged to do that. Like, it's really important to take that downtime after the race because of not only the race having impact, but also like all the training that you've done in the build up to race. It's a lot of load on the body, so it's important to take a break. So I'm saying this all out loud so that I'm like ingraining it into my own brain as well. But even I make mistakes, you know, like find it hard to stop sometimes. So we're going to chat more about that really soon. But before we do so, Est, I know the community be all wondering and worrying about you based on the last conversation we had here on the pod. Do you want to fill us in on where you're at with your health and everything going on?
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks everyone who like reached out and stuff. It was so nice. I don't think people realize how nice even just the messages, you know, to hear from people that they're thinking of you and that sort of thing. So yeah, it really does mean a lot, and I'm super grateful for everyone who's reached out or you know, sent kind words my way. It means the world to me. But yeah, so last time we chatted, I was in the depths of just finding out kind of thing, and since then, like, I've learned more about it, and I guess I'm getting used to or starting to process like what's actually happened. I feel like it was just like the most insane whirlwind, and I was probably extremely stressed for like 6 weeks. So yeah, just trying to like be kind to myself as well, and take it really easy. But since we chatted, I don't think I actually talked about this in the podcast because I don't think I knew by then. But when you get like the cells tested within like the tumor, they give you a grade. So there's obviously the stages of cancer, which could be stage 1, 2, 3, or 4. Mine is most likely stage 1. I'm finding out today, I think. But from all the results so far, it leads me to be thinking that way, and my sister who's a doctor, so that's really good news. And then there's grades, so that's like the aggressiveness of the cancer cells, so how quickly they like replicate and that sort of thing. And so originally I was told mine was grade 1, which is like really good, and that's what we would want because it's not too aggressive, and so chances of it like coming back or like recurring again is quite low. So like that would have been the ideal scenario. But unfortunately, they sent well, fortunately, but also unfortunately, they sent my cells to be tested by like a gynecological, I struggle with that word, gynecology, I should say gynecology expert in Auckland. And she reported it as grade two. So that's like a little bit more aggressive. There's three grades, so it's obviously not grade three, and it is a spectrum. So I imagine if someone, this is just where my brain went, if someone graded it as grade one who's not as experienced, and then it was actually changed to a grade two, I imagine on the spectrum it's closer to a grade one, if that makes sense, because someone else mistook it for that. So, I mean, that's good. It obviously just means it's they're just being a lot more careful. So I had like a CT last Friday and my blood's done again. So all my bloods were elevated. So like the CA125 and like these other proteins, and even my like cholesterol was quite really high because the tumor's full of stuff. I'm going to tell you about that soon and how weird it is. But anyway, they were all normal. So my bloods were like back to a normal person's bloods. Tumor markers were low, like all really good signs. And then the CT was also clear. So it doesn't look like in the 5 weeks from surgery, anything has grown or, you know, was missed. So that's great news. So yeah, really positive, positive result. And so I hear more each week. So they always, because now that they know that it's cancer, they look after it in Auckland as part of this group called they I don't know what the group's called, but they meet every Wednesday at the MDM, and that's like the meeting of all the experts, and they look at cases of gynecological cancers. And so yeah, they'll meet today and talk about mine, and I'll find out if I have to do anything else for treatment. So they were sort of, she was sort of mentioning surgery again, which I don't really understand why that would happen. So fingers and toes crossed I don't have to do any more surgery, and hopefully I avoid chemo because that's ruthless. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at the moment. Should find out more today. But just touching on what's in the tumor, you might all find this really weird, or you might get grossed out. But it's like a germ cell tumor, the one that I have. So it's a little bit rarer, and it occurs in like women between 21 and 40. So it's definitely a younger cancer. But anyway, it's like so weird. It's like full of bone and teeth and cartilage and fat, and like honestly so gross. So she's like a little alien of human stuff that has grown on my ovary. So it's pretty gross. But anyway, the more that I get like used to what's happened, the more I can like laugh about like that thing, you know, like the fact that that's what was in there is so gross to me and funny. So anyway, yeah, that's a germ cell tumor is the type that I had. But yeah, it's pretty weird and wacky.
So crazy. It's so crazy what the body can do. And like I didn't even know that that was possible until you've gone through all of this. I'm like, what, how are you growing teeth and bones inside your ovary? That's insane. But like the body is both incredible and scary about what it can do, you know, like how much it can go the wrong way. But then also like it's so amazing how the body can heal itself and geez, like allow us to reach these incredible like goals and reproduce and have babies. Like it's so amazing, but it's also scary at times as well. So you've gone through such a roller coaster over the last couple of months, and it is all sounding really positive, which is great news, and you've been so strong, and I can't believe the way that you've worked through this yourself. So it's only going to make you even stronger. Crazy.
Thanks, Liz. Yeah, I do feel like mentally quite well, which is really nice to feel like that after. I know that like I guess I was running on adrenaline for quite some time, and like I imagine that that might catch up with me. I have felt pretty tired. So yeah, just continue to be nice to myself because it was a lot, and it's still, I guess I'm still in it. So yeah, we'll just stay real positive and hopeful, and all signs are leading to hopefully this being the end of it. And I won't ever have it again.
Yeah, definitely. And that's exactly what we want to chat about today, is just like learning to be kind to yourself and learning to take breaks when you need them, and not feeling like the pressure or expectation to always be a achieving or always be on the go or always be making progress. And it's definitely something that I am constantly battling with. I know you are too, Est, and I know so many of our community are in the same mindset. I think a lot of it is because we are women and we've always had to like prove ourselves. And even by taking a break, it feels like we're taking a step in the wrong direction or taking a step backwards, and we're losing that momentum to make progress. And I feel like myself, I've constantly put myself under pressure to like be living up to these certain expectations. And like, whether it's in my running and running a certain amount of Ks or running certain times or always be getting better and always be breaking PBs, or it might be in my career. And obviously with Femi and building a startup, it's a very similar journey to training for a marathon, except it's way more drawn out. But you know, like, it is like these journeys that we go on where you're constantly wanting to go and always do more and do better, and you just forget, or on purpose you don't take a break and you don't stop and you don't like breathe. And I think for both Esther and I, like, we've gone through this many times over, and I'm like always having to remind myself that it's okay to stop. And even if I don't, I always know it's going to catch up and like kick me up the ass, you know. And I think right now I like feel like pretty severe fatigue, and I do feel like the year is kind of catching up on me. Like, it's been a pretty fucked up year, and I feel like so much has gone on that I've kind of kept like jumping back on the horse, as they say, like all the time. Something will happen and like maybe I'll get upset about it, or I take a day and then I'm like straight back up and going again. And I know you're the same, Es, but like, it's actually so dangerous and can actually be so much worse for you in the long run if you don't just stop for a while and take a breather. It all links back to like periodization of training, you know, like there's periods of time where you can be going and going hard and doing it all and doing everything at a high intensity. And then there's times where you have to like stop and let yourself both mentally and physically absorb what has happened today to then just rest, reset and go again. But I think a lot of it also comes from like comparison and just the world that we live in right now. But Est, before I continue on my ramble, like, yeah, obviously what you've been through over the last few months has somewhat like forced you to stop, but how have you mentally like dealt with knowing that that is the best thing for you to do right now?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I do think I've honestly had so many setbacks with running over the last like 5 years. Like, I remember 5 years ago I was running like the best I've ever run, you know, and since then it's just been like setback after setback. I've just got used to it now, and like, I don't really mind. Like, I don't get upset the way I used to, that like I'm losing fitness and stuff, because like, I don't know, if I did then I would just be sad for the last 5 years. So I am at a point now where I just want to do what's right for my body and like my mental side is able to cope with not running and stuff. So that's been like a really, I guess, that's a cool thing to, or a cool point to get to, but it's obviously been hard having to deal with all the things that have happened and like slowly get to that point. Like, I remember when I first got COVID and like, oh gosh, when was that? That would have been like 2020 or 2021. And I was so fit, and I got long COVID, and that, like, how I was dealing with that then versus me now is like, I was so sad. Like, I was so gutted every day. I couldn't run, like, just like felt like I was losing my identity. But then when I think about now, and then me also stopping running for gosh, it would have been like nearly 5 months of basically no running with my Achilles. Like, I'm just doing what's right for my body now, and like, I'm all good with it. But what was hard this time is I rolled my ankle after finding out about the tumor on my ovary like a week later. So I was like, when I found out about it, I was like, okay, it's pretty big. I need to be really careful. Like, I'm not doing anything intense because there's this thing called ovarian torsion and like even like rupturing of cysts and stuff. So just have to be really careful with something so big. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll just run like 4 or 5 Ks, every day. I'll just get out there and just run real slow. And then I rolled my ankle a week after. And I just gave up, to be fair. For about 2 days, I was just like, oh, I couldn't really even walk anyway. So I was just lying in bed, like, okay, sweet. To be fair, that was actually quite hard. But Liz bore the brunt of those messages, as I said in that other podcast. I was like, why is this happening? But yeah, now I'm just like, okay, well, I've come through this and I have a big scar that needs to heal, and I'm getting helped from Grace, the physio, as always. She's always helping me. She's such an amazing woman. But she just explained to me, like, the layers of your abdomen and stuff take ages to heal. So like the skin is all healed, it's like a pink scar, but then underneath, all the muscles and all of that are still healing. So like, I'm not going to put my future self at risk to get a couple of Ks in now, just because I can't handle the fact that I can't run. So I'm doing everything, ticking off each week, progressing. And this Thursday I get to start core, which I'm so excited about. So it's more just like, I don't know, there's so many positives you can take from being injured or having breasts. Like, if you can flip it into something positive that you're doing for your body and your mind, like, you can enjoy it more rather than just feeling like you're missing out and like your fitness is disappearing. Like, I don't know, I call myself the comeback queen because I've just done so many comebacks, and like, I'm proud of the fact that I continue to want to keep running, like, I feel like some people wouldn't at this point, but I just want to keep doing it because I love it. But like, I'm just patient with the fact that it's going to take a while, and who knows, there might be other setbacks. But yeah, so I think just like for me, it's just flipping it into the positive, like, what can I do now that's going to help me to get back into running? So that's like, going for my walks, making them longer each week, going for my bikes. And then, yeah, like I said, starting core. And I get to start swimming the following week after that, so I can swim and I can bike outside. So that's so cool. So yeah, there's heaps of positives that can come even when you're injured or having to rest. It's just, I think, how you kind of perceive it, in the moment.
Totally. It's all a perspective shift, eh? I feel like a few things you mentioned is being so tied, like tying your identity so closely to being a runner is one. Like, if you, and I think what I've seen over the last couple of years with running booming and so many social media influencers becoming runners, and also people who just like love running starting to just like post all of their training online, your entire identity does become all about being a runner. And that can be so dangerous because when you either have to take a break or you're forced to take a break because of injury or sickness, then you feel like you lose a piece of yourself. And that's definitely, I've been way deeper in it in the past, but even now I feel like still tied to that identity as a runner because it is who I am known as to a lot of people who don't truly know who I am. And then you feel this pressure to like be living up to that identity from everybody else. So when it happens that you can't do that thing anymore that everyone knows you for, then you kind of start questioning who are you or who am I? And that's like just a really dangerous mental place to be. But the perspective shift of like, yes, I have to take a break, and here's all like the good things that is going to come from not running, and here's all the things I can do that can help me be a better runner in the future, which isn't just running right now, can definitely help in terms of like accepting that taking a break and taking some rest is so good for you. But I think the other one is just like, which ties back to social media too, is the like comparison and just like constantly seeing what other people are doing. People who might be on the same level as you or on a same similar journey to you, and then being like, well, they're doing that, I should be doing that, or they've already got back into that sort of training after race, I should be doing that too. Like, all of that stuff is also incredibly dangerous. And I'm finding myself now in a place of like not unfollowing people, just preventing myself from looking at people's stuff if that's how they make me feel, because I just need to start making and yeah, making decisions that actually right for me as Lydia the runner, not based on what other people are doing as well. And I mean, for you, yes, what you're going through is an incredibly unique experience, and it's not like there's people you can look at to be like, well, she went through something similar to me, so I'm going to be doing that. But I think for like the general runner who is either like injured or coming back from sickness or coming back from a race. Yeah, like not getting consumed by what else is going on and what other people are doing is like so important. I actually listened to a podcast this morning with a pretty well-known runner in Australia. I won't name names, but starts with N and ends in Ockman. And he was just talking about like his journey to running and whatnot and how he did these like 50 marathons in 50 days. And then he's like, oh, you know, that was pretty hard at the time, but like I could do that now easy. I could do that easy, you know, like that wouldn't even be hard. And I was like, mate, rein it in. 50 marathons in 50 days for Andy Buchanan, the best marathon runner in Australia, would be hard, you know, like that, you know, when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, you realize people are going to be sitting there listening to that and being like comparing themselves to that and being like, oh, well, what am I doing? I should be doing that. Or like if he's saying that that's not even hard, then why am I complaining about my, or like finding my 10K run in the morning hard, you know? It's just there's so much crap out there online that you have to be so aware of and not get consumed by it, because at the end of the day, you're on your own individual journey, and if you lean into what other people are doing, you won't do what's right for you, and it will actually impact your running long term anyway. So yeah, the comparison thing really gets me because there's just so much running online now.
So much running. That's so true. I feel like I know you have to. Liz is in charge of the Femi Instagram. She does a fabulous job. But she,
Wouldn't say that, but
you do. I love the reels that you make. I always get to see them first. And see the captions first. Make sure there's no spelling mistakes or
yeah,
whatever.
that's more like it.
But it's really hard for you to disconnect from that world, even when you're like, yeah. Trying to recover and do what's right for your body because you have that, I guess, role with Femi. But like, if you are in the position where you're finding, I think what you said before is really powerful. Like, but then also being aware about it. Like, I think so many people just go on social media and then they just go off it, and then you don't even think about how that made you feel. So I think maybe just like taking some time if you're on there, and say you're trying to do something right for your body. How does it make you feel when you get off there? Do you feel worse or do you feel inspired? Blah blah blah. Like, think about that. And if you find that you're feeling worse while you're trying to like take a break or you're injured or something, just delete it, you know? Or just like remove it from your phone for a while, take a break. And then what you'll find is you probably, yeah, you just look internally and you think more so about what you can do for you right now, what you can control, things like that, rather than, yeah, looking at other people who are running a marathon a day and think it's easy over 50 days. I just find that annoying too, because I'm like, bro, you have a responsibility to, I don't know. It's when you have a platform like that, you need to be really careful about what you say, because you impact a lot of people around you. And I think it's the same thing for me. Like, if I was going in, you know, I had a full open surgery, it's like a 12-centimeter scar. If I went and started running after 6 weeks and was like running hard, and I was lucky enough to get away with it and shared all of that online, like I need to be aware that that will impact other people and how, you know, how they come back from things like that. Might be something to consider is, yeah, what you're saying and what you're putting out there, is that healthy? Do you think it's actually healthy? And then are you sharing that with other people, because they're going to also consume that and maybe think, you know, it might impact how they think about themselves. So, yeah, a few things there. Delete social media if it's making you feel like crap. And then come back on and make sure you like all Femi's posts and then go back and delete it again.
It's how I only think like trying to find the right balance of being inspirational or knowing you're doing something hard, wanting to share it to inspire other people to do hard things, and then sharing content that potentially is going to influence people in the wrong way or make people feel not good about themselves or make people compare themselves to you and then be like, I need to do more. You know, there's always that balance and something that I feel like I'm constantly checking myself on, because I'm like, even a few months ago, I shared a reel about my 150K week, you know, and I'm like, I want to inspire people to go and also like chase their goals and do hard things, but I don't want to be like, I'm doing 150K weeks. You all have to do 150K weeks too if you want to like be a good runner, you know, and I'm like, that's not the case. But yeah, it's a hard one. But I think I definitely need to start sharing more about like the rest and the recovery, because I think that stuff is not spoken about enough. It's like, yeah, resting needs to be more glorified, because it's not, and it's so important for us, not just as runners, like definitely for our longevity in the sport, rest and recovery is so important, but also just for our health and, you know, our overall well-being. We need to take downtimes. We need to take times where we are sleeping more, eating more, not running so much, maybe doing more yoga versus going out for our runs and doing high intensity training. Like we definitely need to like encourage that balance, which it sounds easy, but it's actually so hard. And I know so many women in our community battle with the same things. And I'd love to hear your stories if you are someone who is going through that, because it's not our fault. I believe that it is like a systemic issue that we've grown up to be conditioned to always trying to prove ourselves, and that sucks. And I think I look at a lot of male athletes, and this is totally an assumption, but something that I feel like I see amongst male athletes is their ability to switch off and their ability to stop seems to be a lot easier for them than for the woman. And I could be wrong, but I feel like that is what I get from when I hear from male athletes. So yeah, we need to be kind to ourselves as queens, and we need to take our rest on our throne and just like relax for a moment.
Totally. Yeah, we do. And like finding people that do that well, it can be really inspiring. Like I know Ruth Croft, who just won UTMB, go New Zealand.
Go New
She
Zealand.
go New Zealand, Aotearoa, number one. No, just kidding. But she I'm pretty sure she takes like a month off every year, like a full month of no running, you know? And then I know Lisa Waitman as well, one of like the best Australian runners. She always takes big breaks. And I just think you actually get more out of it than pushing yourself all the time and pushing through. It's just, yeah, I guess it comes back to that perception of why you're doing it. If you love the grind, which I think a lot of us do, and you get, you know, you can't dissociate from that and take a break, like it can be really hard. But if you can position it in a way where you're like, I just did like massive block of training and then I just race as hard as I possibly can. What does my body actually need right now? And then you'll come back better and you'll come back stronger. Because you actually let your like, you know, your organs in that in marathons get screwed. Like your kidney is cooked. So like if you think about it from that perspective, that can help a lot. Rather than you're not being lazy, you're actually being really smart. And you're letting your body finally rest. But yeah, it's a hard balance, eh?
It's hard, like it is hard when you just love the act of going for a run. You know, like that actual just movement, whether you're running 5Ks or 50Ks, I genuinely just like love going for a run. So being able to be like, you can't do that thing. And like, don't like, although I could do the thing, it's not like I've got a broken leg. Mind you, I did bail on the weekend pretty severely and smash my knee up, which it's not pretty. But, I am like, I don't have a broken leg. I literally could go out for a run, which I did do this morning. But I'm also like, throughout the whole run, I'm like, slow down, take it easy, don't go up the hills, stop if you want, have a breather, change songs. You know, like I try to force myself to break those runs up because I still want to be able to enjoy just like the act of waking up and going outside and going for a jog, but like doing it in a really like, in quotation marks, easy, like slow way, low intense way. But yeah, it's hard. It's a constant battle.
Yeah, it is. But your body, even that, that's like just, yeah, like you say, you it doesn't mean you have to like completely stop if you don't want to. But like just that for your body is huge. Like you train really hard and you have a lot of intensity every week. Just to give your body like easy Ks when you feel like it is heaps. Like your body will be loving it and it'll be healing like day on day. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you doing it. You're doing so good.
Thank you. I think like your body will give you signs as well. You know, like right now my body is telling me that it's fatigued. It's telling me that it needs rest. I have this like stupid twitching that I always get when I'm like under severe fatigue, and I just constantly am like tired at the moment. So you've got to listen to those signals. Like your body is incredibly smart and it will tell you what it needs. So Don't ignore those signs. Take the rest when you need it and just like think about your future self. That's, I think, what helps me get me through is like, I want to be running good in like 6 months. So let's just chill now.
Love
Yeah. Well, maybe we should go have a nap, but thank you so much to everybody who has tuned into this episode. We appreciate you all. The Nike Melbourne Marathon Festival is coming up very soon. So if you're going to be around Melbourne that weekend, whether you're racing or just there to support, please stay across our channels on Instagram. We'll be sharing some pretty exciting things coming up. But yeah, have an incredible week. Hope your running and resting is going well. And get at us on Instagram if you want to reach out. Thanks so
Thanks,
much,
Megan.
Jess.
Thanks.